ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Main engine start.
I remember the day so clearly.
Two, one, liftoff.
Roger, Challenger. Obviously a major malfunction.
I ran outside as fast as I could and looked up in the sky.
Couldn't believe it, it exploded. I'm science reporter Fiona Pepper.
And I'm Dr. Carl.
We're going to tell you the story of Challenger.
Challenger Legacy. Search for Science Friction wherever you get your podcasts.
Or on the ABC Listen app.
Who am I? I have a scuba diving father, a family in the cinema business, and I've transported prisoners to islands. Oh, and I have had a very good fringe.
I think I'd like to be identified just as Ranger Stacey Thompson. But Ranger Stacey is how normally people refer to me. I think it's just, it's almost like I'll be 80 and I'll still be Ranger Stacey.
Yes, you heard that right, Duckers. I have Ranger Stacey's phone number. And like the bat signal, I can use it to call one of Australia's environmental heroes whenever I need help. This episode of What the Duck was made at a time when the Earth needs heroes. And each hero has to have an origin story. Peter Parker was pecked by a pesky pider, and a monkey burst out of the egg on the side of a volcano. But we don't need more myths. We need real heroes, nature's superheroes. And where do they come from? Starting us off in this new series of What the Duck is a woman who brought up several generations of latchkey kids. Forget the Power Rangers. We have Ranger Stacey. She's a real human, and it turns out, a real ranger. I'm Ann Jones, and let's get into it.
Well, I was born in 1964, so I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. That's when I was a kid. My childhood was pretty much a regular suburban household. I grew up down by Moreton Bay, which is outside of Brisbane, or it's part of Brisbane, but it's on the bayside. So it was a very outdoorsy childhood. The suburb that I grew up in, there were creeks running through it, lots of bushland, horse paddocks. And I think a lot of people that grew up in that era would be able to relate to that, where you just go out after school, and as long as you were home before dark, that's what you do. I'd be climbing trees and climbing my friend Penny's mulberry tree and gorging myself on mulberries and just exploring. So that was pretty much my childhood. My family actually ran or owned a cinema, a suburban cinema. My dad, you know, he was often in the projection room, but in spare time, Dad was a big scuba diver and he was part of the underwater research group of Queensland. There, we had a few amazing trips, and this is still really vivid in my mind. We used to go up over the summer for about a month to a little island in the southern Great Barrier Reef called Northwest Island. And it's an uninhabited island, so we'd have to take all of our water, all of our supplies, and we'd camp there for about a month. And all the grown-ups would go scuba diving and the kids would just run wild. And at that time of the year, obviously, the turtles are laying, and also there's a crossover with the hatchlings as well. And I remember the mutton birds were nesting at the time, and there's just guano everywhere and the green leaves turn white with all of the poo. And it was just, I still remember the smell. So yeah, it was a very, very wonderful time of my life. At the time, you're just living it. But when you look back, it was a pretty special thing. I think that might have been a little spark in my mind about what I wanted to do in the future.
As you got towards the end of school, what were the options for you and how did you come to a decision?
Back in my day, because I went to a girls' school, a lot of the girls would drop out at year 10 because they'd go into a trade, you know, like hairdressing. Back then there were secretaries, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, so I kept going. And knowing that I've always loved the outdoors, I'd ruled out a few things. I didn't want to be in an office for my whole career. I didn't want to be indoors. And then I was over at one of my friend's houses and her dad said to me, we were just talking about what we were going to do after school. And And I told him, you know, I want to work outdoors and I love animals and I like the environment. And he told me about a course at Queensland Agricultural College, which is about an hour from Brisbane, out kind of in the Lockyer Valley. So it's a farming area, and looked into that. Mum and Dad took me to the open day, and pretty much the rest is history. I was sold. I pretty much put my application in, got accepted, and then after grade 12, I was off to Gatton.
And was that an agricultural course, or was this aimed at people who had a particular interest in managing the environment?
This course was a relatively new course. It was called an Associate Diploma, Rural Techniques, Wilderness Reserves and Wildlife. I've still got some of my folders, actually. I saw it this morning at home. I've kept it.
Those first years out of school are just so formative for the adult that you are going to become. What was it that you learnt about yourself during those studies?
I think I learnt that I was more than what I thought I was. I think I was just 17, you know, meeting people from all different walks of life. Because it was an agricultural college, there were students from huge properties that would come and study agriculture or horticulture or stock and meat inspection, or there was valuation. So you're just meeting all kinds of different people from different walks of life. And I realized that, hey, you know, I'm pretty strong. Yeah, I was out in the big wide world, and I gained a lot of confidence in those couple of years.
Straight out of the course, Stacey lands a sweet, sweet job.
Yeah, national parks, yeah, they were employing a lot. So Queensland National Parks and Wildlife Service wasn't actually formed until I think it was the mid-70s, and that's one reason why this course was designed. So there's all these people wanting to become rangers, going to Gatton, doing this course. And then I remember when I finished the course in 1983, then you apply for jobs, and there were quite a lot of jobs.
And where was it that you were stationed in your first position?
So my first job was at Main Range National Park. The base was at Cunningham's Gap. So as you go, you know, across the Great Dividing Range, the barracks was there. There was Mount Cordeau, Mount Mitchell, Queen Mary Falls, and all of that wilderness in between. It was beautiful. There were three of us that got the job there. So they'd employed three new rangers. But our boss, he was an old forestry guy. And I think we're all straight from college. The other two fellas, Rolly and John, we were all so green and so fresh and had so much enthusiasm. And we turned up on our first day, and Dennis, the main ranger, looked at us. He was pretty old school. He's going, what are these people know? So we had to prove him wrong that we might have had to learn a few things on the job. But yeah, it ended up being a wonderful time up at Main Range.
What sort of duties did you have in those first jobs?
A lot of fire management, actually, cleaning the toilets, the public toilets, looking after the campgrounds, doing track maintenance, patrolling, giving permits to campers, the real Jack and Jill of all trades kind of stuff. And also, because it was quite a well-visited national park, a lot of people would be, you know, travelling around and stopping for one or two nights. We also used to do a lot of interp. A lot of early morning bird walks. We used to go spotlighting at night and meet the campers at the campground on dusk or just after dark, and then take them along the tracks and show them the greater gliders and the possums and the owls at night. So that's actually something that I really enjoyed. The cleaning of the toilets wasn't really my favourite job. Surprise. But yeah, I did tend to put my hand up a lot and volunteer if there was an opportunity to talk to the visitors.
Ah, there we have it. It's the first time that Ranger Stacey told me that she really enjoyed not just being in the outdoors, but accessing her superpower, communicating about the environment.
Now, this was interesting. This is something that they didn't teach me in college. There was two of us over on St. Helena Island, and St. Helena is quite a small island just out in Moreton Bay off the coast of Brisbane. And back in the day, it was a maximum security jail. So it was opened in 1867 and closed in 1932. And at that time, it was the worst of the worst were sent there, because it's a little bit like Alcatraz in a way, because it was off the coast, and but it was surrounded by water and sharks and things like that. So this is back now, we're talking probably about 1985, 86, I was there for 2.5 years, but because it had been cleared and a lot of weeds had come up, we needed a lot more manpower. So Queensland National Parks and Wildlife Service got together with the prisons, and Boggar Road Jail at that stage was still open in Brisbane, and that was also a very tough jail. So we had 8 prisoners that were assigned to come over every day through the week from Monday to Friday, and they'd do a lot of the mowing and the lantana clearing and that kind of stuff. And keeping in mind, I was only probably 21 at this time, so I was still quite young and impressionable and had never had anything to do with prisoners before, but it was my job to go and pick them up. So I lived on the island, so we had a couple of boats. So I'd go across to the Manly jetty. The prisoners would be driven down in the prison van. The warder would walk out to the end of the jetty. I'd take over from there. They'd all jump into the boat. I'd drive them across to the island. They'd work for the day, and then I'd bring them back in the afternoon and they'd go back to prison for the night. I've got to say, it was crazy to think that was something that would happen. And also the fact that, yeah, I was in charge.
Ranger Stacey is like Texas Ranger, really. She can do anything. Children's television, check. Piloting a boat, check. Prison supervision, check.
The fact that I lived on St. Helena Island for 2.5 years as a ranger, which I loved, the last 6 months I felt like a prisoner myself and had to get off the island. I was going a little bit stir crazy. I mean, the conditions weren't great, I've got to say. And you don't expect 5-star, but I lived in a little, it must have been not even a second-hand caravan, but maybe a fifth-hand caravan, tiny little caravan, and living on an island in the middle of Moreton Bay with surrounded by beautiful mangroves, you know, you do tend to get a lot of mozzies and sandflies, and it was brutal. So there was a lot of bugs, a lot of bites, and just the fact that it was so isolated.
On ABC Radio National, you're listening to What the Duck, where I, Dr. Anne Jones, am trying to find the origin stories of some of the heroes of the environment in Australia, like Ranger Stacey, the blonde-haired, bright-eyed, enthusiastic advocate for nature that we know and love from the program Totally Wild. Yes, she was a real ranger. She did the hard yards. But how did the transition to TV happen?
When I was at St. Helena, this was, I didn't realise at the time, even though I was living in a crappy little caravan and I had prisoners to look after, had so many different elements to my job. It was also really interesting because it was Queensland's first historic national park. So there was a lot of media interest. And because it was just myself and another ranger, Ranger Rob, he wasn't that interested in talking to the media, whereas I thought, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. So I'd just be the interviewee. And I thought, this is fun. And then Channel 7 was looking for an environmental, in inverted commas, expert or someone with some knowledge to do some reports on a show called Wombat. Wombat was it was an afternoon show. It was like a magazine style program on Channel 7. It was a national show. And there were all kinds of different segments. Yeah, I got the job. So it wasn't actually a job because I was still with Queensland National Parks and Wildlife Service. But it was a funny transitional period because by that time I was about to leave the island and go and take up a new position as what they called an education officer in the head office in the city for the Department of Environment. What's better, a better way of educating the masses than going on really popular afternoon show that reaches hundreds of thousands of kids across Australia?
And so from her first foray into presenting science and nature content for Wombat, next, Ranger Stacey solidifies her reputation of being able to deal with absolutely any animal by appearing as a regular on a show hosted by a smart-ass puppet that looked like he was made out of carpet offcasts, Agro.
So as Wombat was finishing, Agro's Cartoon Connection was starting. That was a morning show, so that was a Monday to Friday cartoon show. But I'd met Jamie Dunn just from being around the Channel 7 office.
Jamie Dunn is the man who has the hand on the brains of Agro.
And he liked what I did and he goes, be great if we could have a little segment. You can have your own segment talking to Agro and teaching him about animals in the environment. And I did that show for 7 years until it finished in 1996. We'd record every Saturday, so we'd have a studio audience. So we'd have busloads of kids and scout groups and families that would come up to the studios of Channel 7 and we'd record 5 shows in a day. So we'd have the morning session, then we'd get a new audience in for the afternoon session. So which meant for me, I would have to be very organised and have my 5 different things to talk about for the week. So every Saturday morning, I'd be up super early and I would go around and collect, say, to the Queensland Museum and borrow things. I'd borrow stick insects and giant burrowing cockroaches and centipedes and snakes. And then I'd go along to Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary and I'd pick up a dingo or a possum or all kinds of stuff. And I'd keep them backstage and just talk to Agro about the different animals that I had or artifacts that I'd have. I was always just being myself and I've got a pretty fun-loving nature. Now I find the fun in things, which is wonderful, and I like a bit of a challenge. And it was the perfect platform really, because something didn't quite go to plan and it never does with kids and animals. That was the gold. If I got pooed on or weed on while the camera was rolling, we wouldn't stop. Agro would make sure that we wouldn't stop. So, you know, you just have to deal with it and clean it up in front of everyone or whatever. Yeah, Agro was, he was very popular with some of the animals. You know, even cockatoos would like to, you know, peck his little furry head. And, but Agro was, he loved all the animals. The only animal he was terrified of was snakes. And to this day, Jamie Dunn is still really scared of snakes. So when Agro did get a little bit too cheeky, it was easy. All I'd have to do was direct the snake's head down towards the hole where Jamie Dunn was perched underneath. That would fix him.
Like, you went myself, what?
Why am I doing this?
Why?
It's less painful than talking to you.
Oh, you mean it?
Anyway.
As I mentioned, I'd started on Channel 7, so I was doing Wombat, then Agro's Cartoon Connection. At the same time, I was working over at Channel 9 on a show called Bushbeat, and then also Totally Wild was in the works, so a kids' show all about the environment and wildlife. Yeah, I was being spread in different directions, and while it was very exciting, it was also very challenging because working for a government organisation, you have to justify what you're doing and the time you're spending doing this. And it was very hard to quantify and what's this worth. And I've got to say, a couple of the bosses were a little bit difficult, yeah, in seeing the value. But I'm sure that after all these years, they might look back and think that was a pretty good thing, having a couple of our ranges on national television and really influencing a whole generation about looking after the environment.
So here we arrive, wearing happy pants and our hair in a side ponytail, to 1992, the start of the after-school program, Totally Wild. And the Totally Wild theme starts with what sounds to me like a synthesized elephant screaming. It takes several generations of Australians straight back to the feeling of getting home after school and watching this on a television that you had to control by getting up and pressing buttons on the actual television. It's iconic.
It was the best opportunity to showcase Australia and our Australian animals, not just the animals, but the people who were working in the environment, the scientists and researchers out in the field. We got to do some amazing things.
And did you continue to get bitten and crapped on?
Yes. Yeah, many times. Luckily, nothing too bad though. Like, I really don't have any major scars. I used to go home smelling quite a bit because I, would get pooped on, get weed on. And my dog would just, every time I'd come home at night after work, where have you been?
Where have you been?
Yeah, who have you been with?
By this stage, you must have been experiencing the impacts of fame. What was your experience of being recognised?
It was crazy. Yeah, just to become a household name, not just by the kids, but by their parents and grandparents. It was such a warm, fuzzy, positive experience. There was nothing scandalous about me. Nothing's ever come out about
Wait,
me.
And nothing's ever come out. That leads me to believe there's things we're yet to find out.
I'll say nothing. No, nothing. There's been nothing really. Like, I'm quite squeaky clean. But it was wonderful. I've got to say, it was always a really positive experience. And just the excitement that people get because they think they know you. And it would happen all the time. I was at the shops yesterday, actually, and I was looking for pickled ginger. And I was looking on the shelf. This fellow came up to me and said, "Thank you, Ranger Stacey." I said, "There's no need to thank me. What are you thanking me for?" He said, "Oh, I thought it was you. I grew up with you." And then he started progressed to tell me about how he's got these heaps of water dragons around where he lives at the moment and possums and telling me his story. So he'd be the prime 1990s kid. And I get that pretty much on a daily basis. And it was great back then, but I think to have this legacy and it's still happening, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I would take that further and say that a high proportion of professionals that are in biology and zoology and ecology these days would have been directly influenced by Totally Wild and by you in their career choices.
It's very kind of you to say that, to acknowledge that, because even when I was doing Totally Wild, we might be doing a vet story somewhere. And so many times you'd meet the interviewee for the first time and they'd say, "Oh my God, I can't believe that I'm about to be interviewed by you because I grew up watching you and that's the reason why I went and studied science or went to learn to be a vet."
Totally Wild was on after school for 29 years. 29 years. So what has life been like since it came to an end?
At the time, it was scary because even though I was always challenged by what I was doing because it was always something different, but I've got to say, I was comfortable. I loved what I did. I love the people I work with. And then that all came to an end and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So yeah, I took a little step back and an opportunity just came to me and it was with a local council, which sounds pretty boring, but it was with Redlands City Council, which is just outside of Brisbane, not too far. And anyway, I was called in for a meeting with a couple of the senior management group and they said, "We've heard about Totally Wild and thank you for everything you did. We would love to have you come and work with us." And I said, "What do you want me to do? What's the position?" And they said, "We just want you to be you." So I got this really cool title, which is Principal Advisor, Community Education, which is a very sort of local government. And I work in this beautiful bushland environmental centre with the wildlife officers and the environmental partnership team and the bush care people. And I also have started about a year ago, I started a little club called Ranger Stacey's Joey Club and it's for little kids and they'll come out and I pretty much take them on adventures and we go on little bush walks. And they see me coming and they say, "Ranger Stacey." I just think it is so important to have the opportunities when you're little because, as we know, kids are like little sponges and what happens in your early life, it really does have a big influence on what you're going to be like when you're older as well.
It's interesting because I was thinking that in part you'd return to your early career with all of that outreach stuff where you're actually talking about the environment, but actually you've returned to your earliest career, which was being a kid in the bush.
I have. It's gone full circle.
I asked some of my friends who are in environmental fields what they would most like to ask you. And one of them just said that they would actually just most like to ask you for a hug.
Oh.
Because loving the environment can feel really heavy sometimes, and you always managed to bring across the reality of the environment without the hopelessness that can sometimes permeate it as an adult. And I think that is one of the reasons why you will always be special for a whole generation of Australians.
Oh, that is so lovely. That is so sweet. No, I think there's always hope. And even the fellow I met yesterday when I was looking for my pickled ginger, he was a little bit doom and gloom. Oh, the environment is this, you know, there's so many things that are wrong and in the world. And I said, you're doing a good thing. The fact that you're making your own backyard environment safe and healthy for the water dragons, I said, that's something that you're doing. So that's all you can do, really. You can't tackle everything. If everyone does a little bit, that's what I've always said throughout my whole career. And that's something we used to say on Totally Wild. If we all kind of do a little bit, it all makes a bigger impact.
Yeah. See, you just gave everyone a big verbal hug. And I need to ask, did you find the ginger?
I had to go to another store.
Oh. The origin story of super scientists will be on What the Duck for the next couple of weeks because, well, I'm Anne Jones and I love hearing about people's lives and also what we can do so that we can become superheroes of the Australian environment too. What the Duck is made by Rebecca McLaren and myself. We produce this from Wadawurrung and Tungwurrung country.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.